Welcome to the Awakening Conversations podcast, where we dive into the many aspects, challenges, and life-changing lessons that are part of our spiritual awakenings. Through conversations, we are looking to bring you wisdom and perspectives so that you feel more supported and connected as you navigate your own awakening path. We are your hosts, Kate McGee and Amanda Richardson-Meyer. We've both been through our own unique awakening journeys that have changed and transformed our lives. And through these awakening conversations, we will be growing and expanding alongside you. We're so glad to have you join us. Let's dive in. Welcome back to the Awakening Conversations podcast. My name is Kate and I'm here with my co-host Amanda. And today we want to tap into the topics of our design, relationship, and potential. We talk a lot about awakenings here through our conversations, and really that's the point of what we want to help people understand more of. And really at a high level, our awakenings are about us becoming our authentic selves and really coming to see who that is through the different avenues through which we come to begin to see that there's more to this life than we previously thought. And one of the things that we talk about a lot and have mentioned is knowing our designs. And we talk about that through the lens of astrology, human design, and gene keys. And today we really want to talk about how bringing that into relationships as well, and understanding relationships in our life and the power of those and the designs that our relationships have, how that really helps us to fuel our own potential, our authentic expression, and really how they can be a powerful vehicle for us really to live the life we're here to live, learn the lessons we're here to learn, grow in such a profound way, and I think at a soul level, really to be living the life we're here to live. And that knowing our design and especially combining that with the relationships we have and seeing how it's working through those relationships is pretty much the fuel to get the most out of the life that we're here to live and really be living intentionally. So Amanda, Amanda, great to see you.
Yeah, great to be here with you, Kate.
Looking forward to unpacking this today. And where would you like to start? I think, you know, we, as we said, we talk about design a lot, but we haven't really married the two, like relationships and our design. Do you want to kind of give us a bit of an intro here to why it's important for us, or it's, you know, now is a time for us to really be thinking about not only what is my design, but what about the people in my life? And how is that something, why is it important? Why should we be starting to look at that?
Yeah, well, that's a great intro and a great question. And I'm interested in this topic because my life has changed quite a bit through diving into my own design, but then not only looking at my own design, but then looking at my husband's and our kids and seeing how magically our charts, whether it's astrology or basically astrology and gene keys is what I've looked at. And it's transformed my relationship with my daughter. So, and I think that if we're just looking at our own chart, it's like we're not in isolation, and the people around us really are here to be our teachers. You know, if we think about that, we have, from a soul perspective, we made contracts with people before we came here, or souls, not people, but souls, to play roles for each other to help us grow and evolve. And I think that looking through this lens, that's what my family is here to do for me, and I'm here to do that for them. It makes the challenges and the differences in who we are, it's changed things. So for example, with my daughter, her and I struggled, I think, for a long time. And I was actually pretty unconscious to this like adversarial energy between us. And I'd trigger her and she would trigger me. And it was, I think, triggering something that I was unconscious to. It was just something, a normal pattern that I picked up from my upbringing. And it wasn't until my husband started to call me out on it that I started to look at this dynamic with my daughter and myself And then, I mean, that was probably like in the last 5 years, but then what changed was seeing, looking at her, like understanding my chart better, and then seeing how she's actually, she's aligns with my North Node. And then our North Node is what we're here. That's where the most growth comes from. As I understand it, that might be oversimplifying it, but you know, that's Cancer for me. That's all about the home, where it is in my chart. And she is this watery Cancer, like Sun and Cancer. She is Pisces moon, and she's incredibly emotional, which did not make any sense to me. It's like, why can't you just deal with your emotions? And I had this really powerful astrology reading about almost 2 years ago now. And it was all about like, you need to feel your feelings. You need to like get into your body. You need to be in your home. Like, you know, Cancers are all about the home. And, mm-hmm. and I was like, holy crap, she's actually here to show me how to do this. And through acknowledging that, and then starting to not react when she was emotional and expecting her to just snap out of her emotions, I was able to hold space for her differently. And it just like took us down this pathway of change where we were in this unconscious patterning that would have continued had there not been some like conscious break in how we were being. And so that luckily that happened before, you know, she started to become more, a little bit more hormonally, you know, in her adolescence. And so it's just, yeah. And since then our relationship feels much more profound. And then I looked at my husband's chart, and while I was only looking at his sun previously, which is, you know, earth sign, it's a bull, it's a Taurus. And I'm like, oh, he's Cancer moon and Cancer rising. Mm. And so it's like the things that maybe triggered me about both of them, I'm like, oh, they're here to teach me. And so, and maybe I'm here to teach my daughter to, yes, let's feel your feelings. And what can we do once we felt your feelings, rather than get stuck in those feelings? Like, how can I, through my airiness and my logic, like, how can I help you move through it? And so since then, it's just like, we handle our conflict in a much different way. So yeah, that's what started me on this trajectory with looking at the design. And then with regards to the potential, what I'm like really excited about is that for my kids, like, we're on a very untraditional pathway. Like, we homeschool, and they haven't been in a status quo. They haven't had a status quo life. And so it's like, I think we're kind of an experiment. And because of that, like, we've been able to accommodate like who they are, rather than try to mold them to fit into the box of what often needs to happen when you go to school and you have to like just, you know, ignore your emotions. Like, my younger one's very emotional in a different way, very sensitive to sound. And so he did not do well in like large settings with large amount of kids or a lot of noise. And so because like we didn't put them in there, we didn't have to like force them to just suppress who they are or what their needs were. And as I look into their astrology, as I look into their gene keys, that's exactly like those aspects of them are reflected in their design. And so I wonder, and what, you know, I think we've discussed a lot about is like, how much did we shape into something that we're not to fit into society? Mm-hmm. And then how much are we as adults, as 40-something-year-old women, are we relearning and trying to discover who we actually are at this point in our life? And so it's like, what happens if we use design to help our kids, right? Mm-hmm. And also honor the people in our lives as like, that's who you authentically are. Like, what's possible is what I'm curious about.
Yeah. And I think that as I've started to discover human design, one of the things that keeps popping up is really seeing how this can be a really powerful tool for parents to understand their children. And I think once you've got two, maybe three, there's the potential that all three of them have a completely different design from the human design lens of there's a projector type, reflector, generator, manifestor, manifesting generator, meaning that all three children, four children, two children, whatever, have different ways of learning, running their energy. You know, that in and of itself, you know, as we talk about even the school system, you know, it's catering for a type, a single type of person, to a single type of way of learning. Like, you know, even in school, there's now the understanding that some people are visual or auditory or kinesthetic. And, you know, school challenge is a challenging place when it's just, you got to learn it like this. And if that's not how you're wired, then, you know, it affects your ability to perform, therefore your confidence, your self-esteem. And yet if you were catered to in a way that really allowed you to learn through your means and run your energy the way that you're meant to run, and that was honored, you could bring out more of that potential much sooner. And, you know, I think that's a cool thing that we have available to us now, when we think about the kind of future we want to have for our children and how we can help them, as we say, not have to go through the years of like being conforming, trying to fit into a box, being like other people or hiding parts of ourselves because we thought something's wrong with us, that they can embrace who they are and know themselves in those ways early on so that they understand themselves. Because even for me personally, understanding at 40 something that I was a projector and that the way that my energy runs was such a, how would I describe it? Like a moment of realization of like, that is why it was so hard, you know, because as a projector, I don't have the energy to go, 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 go. And I could see even in my own business as an entrepreneur, like that was so challenging to have to keep up the production of content and all the things and like go, 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 go and that hustle. And then I just thought that I wasn't meant for it. But actually, no, if I did that the way that I really wanted to do it was like in the bursts when I have the energy and rest when I rest, like it would be a very different experience. And so it was so liberating. That was the word I was looking for, to be able to go, that is me. And that's why it's felt so hard. You know, and again, school's not really designed like that either. So, you know, there's a potential here for us to create new systems, which we talk about a lot as well through this new paradigm and the new earth that we're creating. Like, how do we want to build the new systems and structures for the future? And so I think this is a great topic to be talking about and thinking about, and for parents to begin to exploring for their children, however old they are, helping them understand who they are, helping them understand then how you can parent in a different way, how you might want to even like, you know, structure schooling for them if you're into that, or like, you know, how we can be inspired to create new ways for kids to, you know, reach their full potential and become who they're meant to be before they even leave high school. You're like, really, right? Like before they've left home, like knowing themselves, knowing how they operate and not having to then spend, you know, the 20s exploring and wondering, like, you know, yeah, I think it's a powerful thing to begin to explore.
Yeah. And what you're saying about like, there's like one type, there's, you know, maybe it's expanded a bit, like recognizing that children learn differently, people learn differently. But I think even then it's still very narrow of like what's considered success or what's considered intelligence. And what I love about the gene keys is that we're all genius, but in different unique ways. And if we knew what our gifts were and didn't have to try to be, you know, in school, it's kind of like you have to learn everything. And it's like you have to do well in math and science and all the different subjects. And it's just, it's very surface level. It's not, you're not going too deep with anything that you want to do. And you don't really get to dive into where you're meant to shine. And so those that are genius in the way that that model celebrates and recognizes, you know, they believe they feel like a genius, or, you know, they feel successful. And those that are genius in other ways, they're not celebrated. And I think that you know, we're in, I think we're going to talk about AI and in the next episode that we have, but where our world is going, we are using AI is going to be part of our future. And so how do we stay, I want to say relevant as human beings? How do what do we have that AI doesn't have? And it's what our humanness and like, what is uniquely, what makes us uniquely us? And if we start to, if we study astrology and we study gene keys, it's like the moment in time that we are born, we have a very unique profile in all of these. And we might have similarities with other people, but it's like, I don't know how many different unique profiles there are, but it's like a fingerprint, right? Mm-hmm. It's uniquely ours. And the more of us that are living that, the more I feel like it's an abundance, a model of abundance in terms of human potential and human creativity how we can collaborate with AI to build new things or expand in new ways. And also another thing I want to talk about is like when we start to realize that we are unique individuals, that we have unique genius, the competition of the old model, that goes out the window because we no longer need to be good at everything. We can just focus on our zone of genius and we can appreciate the zone of genius of other people. We don't have to feel inferior of someone's gifted in one area. It's because we know our own gifts, we know our own worth, and we don't have to try to compete, which has been the way of the scarcity fear model that we've been operating from on a collective level for, you know, thousands of years. So
yeah. I mean, you're really talking about us coming to a place of self-acceptance early on and like, okay, this is me, and like get to be like, okay, this is my lane, this is my uniqueness, and not have to be ever comparing ourselves, you know, criticizing ourselves for not being like other people. What a waste of time, many years that's been, you know. And I think when I think about our journeys too, like you don't have to have the fear of being your authentic self if you know it and it's so accessible to you early on. So yeah, I think this is a, you know, we've talked about but there's the parenting aspects of parents being able to understand their children, but it's also in relationship where you've also mentioned your husband and how we're coming into these partnerships that, you know, we're drawn to. And I think the beautiful thing that knowing our design really helps us do is, and seeing how our partner's, you know, design also fits with us after the fact, like, you know, I loved looking at ours. I'm sort of thinking, you know, if I had seen it at the start, would I have understood? Would I have chosen differently? I don't know. But, you know, to then be married for so many years, living a life that we've lived and seeing how, you know, we left Australia about a year after we met, both with the intention of let's just go and see what happens. And I knew that, you know, I couldn't necessarily be with someone who just wanted to go on holidays from Australia, that I wanted to be with someone who would move away with me and like go for a long time. And so, you know, when I found out Ricky's design, it took us ages to find his time of birth. And so it was only like last year. He's a 3-5 as well as I am. So we live our life by experimenting and like, you know, trying new things and trial and error. And it was fascinating that, you know, we have created the kind of life that we have by the fact that, you know, we both thrive by just, you know, let's see how it goes. Like it's something we say a lot. So it's beautiful confirmation. Like, okay, that's why that works. Another thing that was really great for me to understand is how his energy operates. He's a manifesting generator. And then I can then explain to him why sometimes he gets like excited about the home renovations and he gets 75% of the way there. And then he's like, needs one more part to finish it. And then doesn't finish it because the joy's fallen out of that, you know, for him. And that's a very common trait, I think, with the manifesting generators. They get the energy for it, but then, you know, they have trouble seeing it through to completion. And he's like, oh, okay, now I can understand himself and I can understand him in that way. It's also fascinating too, when I was able to see, you mentioned the north and south nodes before, Ricky and I have the same numbers but inverse. So our north node is the energy, I think, from age 40 that we move into. It's a shift that we take on through that our lives. And the south node is the place we've left at that point in our lives. So, you know, Ricky and I are doing the inverse. He's spent his first 40 years moving through the 40, gate 40 in human design. I'm moving into that now. And opposite, I've been doing 37. He's moving into that now. And so, like, the fact that we have this, that to me was like this kind of closed circuit of, okay, we are definitely here to help each other understand and navigate those parts through our own experiences. To me, that was just like, oh, wow. And I feel that, you know, when you've looked at it through a chart and you reflect back on your own relationship, it can be so enlightening and really just so confirming. And then, as you say, like, it leans into the potential that we have to be like, okay, we can acknowledge that. We can actively work on that. We can be intentional about, you know, seeing the areas that we need to grow in. And, you know, how are we at any given time in a shadow expression of that? Hold each other accountable to that. Help each other come into that gift expression so that we are both living in, you know, that the highest potential that we have is in the relationship. And as you said at the start, like, for this soul contract that we came here for, like, here's the kind of like blueprint of that soul contract, right? As you said with your daughter Sita, she came here to teach you about the emotional world. You've, you know, agreed to be the parent to teach her how to like ground that, move through that, turn that into action. Like, this is where we get to see the behind the scenes of these soul contracts that we have. So I think it's illuminating and puts the power in our hands to be intentional about our growth and the kind of relationships we have and how we can help them flourish.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think when we feel that life is just random, like, oh, I just randomly ended up with this person, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it could have just been any person. But no, to see that, like, number one, it's like their energy brought us together. And we felt that energy and we acted upon it. And then to see that reflected back in a chart, right? Like, that's, it's like, wow, things aren't random, number one. And then I think if we're in maybe a place of shadow where, you know, we're struggling, right, in our relationship. And so we just can see the shadow of the other person and we can't see their gift. We can't see their potential. We can forget that, like, we are here for a reason together to work on these things, to help each other. And then if we can focus on the gifts, we can see, like, we can hold the highest vision both for ourselves and the other person. I think that supports all of the relationship, the family, to step into a higher timeline, a higher frequency where we can tap into those gifts in a deeper way and to do what we came here to do. And so it's like, yeah, our soul's on a mission here. Like, we came here to do something, and we've aligned with people that are here to support us on that mission. We're not alone. And which I think is so cool, right? Like, how it's by design, both like in the design landscape, but also like higher level design, right? Mm-hmm. Like, before we came here, we decided on these things. So,
yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I just keep seeing it as exactly like, you know, I feel like my awakening and my awareness of, you know, starting to understand us as consciousness and energy and, you know, my journey has just felt like the world that I saw pre my awakening was just literally the house that I'm in and the walls, right? And then after my awakening, I realized that that is just what I see in this reality, and behind it is some like something pulling all that together. And then you bring in these sort of tools like gene keys and human design and astrology in a deeper way, and you start to see exactly like that's the literal like connection points and construction that's behind this reality that I see. And, you know, I don't know, I just think that's fascinating and exciting. What I wanted to ask you, Amanda, because I know that you've done a really powerful and deep exploration of gene keys. If someone's listening and they're thinking, okay, well, how do I even begin to understand for myself where I look for my places of growth if I want to start with my own chart? What are the kind of standout parts or places, do you think, that people can look off the top of your head when they want to begin to understand, okay, well, where are my areas of growth? What's my responsibility? Because first things first, in any relationship, when we want to bring it to its highest potential, we don't point the finger. We have to look at ourselves, like, where am I? What am I, you know, how do I understand my triggers? And I think we know them, but when, where can we find them in our design, and what our areas are to work on?
Yeah. So I'll back up. And for those who haven't, if you haven't gotten your Gene Key profile, you can go to the Gene Key's website and put in your info and get your profile. It will show you a little bit of information. For me, when I did that the first time, like it didn't click. It didn't like, oh, I don't really know how this relates to me, because it's just like a little blurb. And so you get the profile and you have three different pathways. You have the genius sequence, which is basically four different gene keys in a particular order. You have the Venus sequence, which is your relationships. And then you have the pearl or prosperity sequence, which is how you create prosperity, abundance with, it's not just money, but it's like a prosperous life in all ways that life can be prosperous. And they're all connected to each other. And it's recommended to start with the genius sequence. So there's four different spheres there. You have your life's work, you have your evolution, you have your radiance, and you have your purpose. And so that's where I personally started with that one. And what I did is I got the big book, and it has all the gene keys in there, and all 64 gene keys. You have, for each gene key, you have a shadow, a gift, and a city. The shadow is where you basically are a victim in regards, and they all have a word associated with each level of each gene key. So for example, I'll take my life's work, which is 41, number 41. And then the shadow of that one is fantasy. The gift is anticipation, and the city, it's like the highest manifestation of this gene key, is emanation. And so each of those at each frequency has a different manifestation. And so you can begin, like the life's work is a good one to start at. And Richard Rudd, the creator of Gene Keys, talks about contemplation. So basically, like, this is like an unfolding process. It's not something where we see our profile. For, I think for a lot of people, they look at their profile and they're like, what the heck am I supposed to do with this? Like, what does this mean? And so it's something you have to be patient with. It's something that you, I think, if you want to study it, if you want to go deep with it, you take your time with it. It's like you read about it. Maybe you listen. People talk about the different gene keys on their YouTube channels. And I've found it helpful to hear different people's interpretations of different gene keys. Like, I get different insights. And really, it's like you kind of work with it. You read it or you listen to something, and then you just like ponder it. You think about it in your life, and then you have things come up in your life, and you can then view that life experience from the lens of a gene key and see how that energy plays out for you. And it's kind of cool, because I think life gives us opportunities to learn. Like, when we are studying it, it gives us opportunities to learn. So that's, and I kind of went through my path the first time around. I would read about that particular sphere, because each sphere, each position on your profile, that has a distinct significance, I guess, of like, so like, say I had 41 in a different sphere, that 41 means something different there. And then there's also another layer that there's lines associated with it. So there's another level within that. So it's not simple, but I mean, maybe it is simple, but it's not something that you're going to grasp by just looking at your chart or reading it once. Because I've read my gene keys multiple times, and every time I glean something new, because I'm at a different point in my life. And so it's like this unfolding process. Something that Kate and I both have been exploring is using AI to help us understand our charts. And as as I mentioned, we're going to be talking about AI in the next episode. But what I find super cool about using AI is that, and a light bulb went off when I heard, like, this is what AI is doing for us. It's able to analyze things on a level that we can't quite analyze. And so how can we, like, it can give us, like, I still think we have to contemplate, and I still think we should use the book and the more, like, use both. But I think it can connect dots that can sometimes feel hard to connect when just looking at a gene key or a sphere in isolation. So, like, how do these work together? I think is something interesting that AI has helped me do. And like, if I'm having a conversation with ChatGPT about my business, for example, it's like, can you, I'm telling you all this information, like, what does my profile tell you based upon what I'm telling you? And it's like, it reflects some really interesting and cool things back that then stimulates more questions. So it's like this collaborative unraveling and unfolding, that it's like having a conversation with someone that can see my chart in a really high level way. So,
yeah. So I will reflect back there exactly that. Like, I've spent some time, you know, reading my part, the parts of my sphere, parts of my profile, and it can feel at first like a heavy contemplation. But the beautiful thing is, like, you've got to start at the start, and it feels, you know, a lot at the start. The more that you get into it, the more it really starts to, like, land and click for you, I would say. And you really feel it, as you said, life will give you the opportunity to sort of witness it. And you do. You start to be able to observe, you know, certain things at play, and then where you are. Are you in your shadow expression? Are you in your gift expression? And again, gives you the intention, a way to intentionally work with things. I think there's a lot we can get out of exploring the gene keys in terms of if it's for a business lens or even just for our own emotional growth. You know, there's a pathway in there about, you know, the big things that we're here to experience emotionally. I think that's which sequence is that one? The Venus?
The Venus.
Yeah.
That's all about relationships and... Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And again, there's a powerful place for us to be understanding our own triggers and wounds in relationship and what we're here to work on, you know, in that respect. And again, you know, looking at your partner's Venus sequence, you can understand them and, like, hold space for them in a different way when you can witness what they're here to work on. So, Amanda, I know that, you know, this has been a deep exploration for you using AI, and that you actually have created a tool for people to begin to understand the dynamics of relationships in their lives. Do you want to share that with us?
Yeah. So, I mean, I love how, like, it excites me because how it just has unfolded has been really organic and mind blowing to me. And so one night I was getting my kids to sleep and I was reading, we're creating stories with it for my son that were personalized to him. And then I just got this impulse to put my son's gene key profile in and ask ChatGPT how I could be a better parent, for how I could best parent him. And it took me down this, like, rabbit hole of seeing how my profile fit in with his profile, and what are my strengths and what are his strengths. And like I said, what came back was so confirmative of who he is and, like, what we've experienced with him, and made me feel so grateful that we've allowed him to be himself and not try to push him out of that. And so, and what came out of that was recognizing that, like, wow, what if we could do this for our kids? What if we could acknowledge and be okay with who they are? What if we felt, you know, I feel like as parents, a lot of us feel external pressure from society, from family members, you know, from culture, to push our kids into ways of being that I think deep down we know it's not right, but we also feel this pressure, and, you know, parents are under a lot of pressure. And so if we don't really know that this is who they are, we can question, but by knowing what their design is, we can really kind of surrender and accept that, you know, this is who they are, and not only let them be that, but then what can we do to really cultivate their genius and allow them to step into who they're meant to be? Because I think that's what the gene key profiles show us. Like, what are their unique gifts? And so what I was able to do is like, what's going to make this child thrive? What's going to make them, like, what can I do as a parent to help them? How do they, like, what's the best way to communicate with them? What about my profile doesn't resonate with them? And so it just gave me such a roadmap in a way of them and for myself and as a family. So I started to offer this as a service to create these reports. And so I can do it just for, you know, if you want to just see who your child is, if you want to know about your dynamic with your child's dynamic, or if you want to see the whole family's dynamic. And so what's been really cool about the family ones is that each family member plays an important role in the family whole. And sometimes if we don't, you know, if there's a family member that doesn't feel like they belong, like that plays a big role in like their trajectory in life. Right. And so the more that we can recognize the value of each person within the family and like, what can we do to build family culture that resonates with everyone's design? It's really tailored and specific to the individuals that are within the unit. So I've called it Unique Potential. And so we'll have a link on the website, in the show notes, et cetera, if you want to learn more about that and how you can explore that, if that's something that speaks to you.
And I want to ask you, because I know that you've done this for your own family profile, what was something, you know, really valuable that you learned by putting the whole family in there? Obviously, as you said before, you've structured your life as a family very differently. But what mm-hmm. was something that really came out of that exploration for you that felt really powerful?
Well, I kind of went in some really interesting places, but exploring what cultures are supportive to each individual person, you know, because we've lived in different cultures. I thought about, you know, we live in Mexico. It's not actually the most supportive culture for my son, who does not like loud noises and there's fireworks every time. So he doesn't really like love the culture. And so I'm like, well, what cultures are supportive of our family members? And it's like, you know, we lived in Costa Rica for 2 years and that came up for many of us. It wasn't perfect, but it was supportive of our design. Japan came up for my daughter, and that's like the number one country that she wants to go mm-hmm. to. And then, so it was like looking at each of our individual countries and then like, where as a family would we all thrive? I thought that was pretty interesting. And then finding out what family businesses that we could would be good for our family. And it's actually things that I've thought of. And it's like, you know, we're not in a place where we have a family business, right? But I'm like, wow, imagine us realizing that we all could work together on a project. Like, how mm-hmm. fun would that be? How much growth would our family create as a result of doing something like that? Like, I think like projects are such a good way to really help people grow as human beings. And to do that together as a family, I think that would be really cool. So it's just so confirmatory, but also like creates a vision for like what could be, like it kind of acknowledge was what is. And it's like, here's a blueprint for how you could tap into something even more potent and powerful. Mm-hmm. And that's supportive. And it's very specific. Something that was really cool with a client was them realizing how much they like, how much seeing the true value of their partner, that like they value them, but like seeing it like, oh, this is what they bring to this dynamic. And it's actually very important for me. And also I can hold a higher vision for them. And so I think it gave, in that particular instance, a lot of hope for what's possible. Right. Mm. And I think that speaks to the potential that we all have. And I think if we can, like, I know I've grown when I've been in surrounded with people who see the highest version of me. Mm. And I think it's easy to get when we're in the shadow, when we're in the day-to-day muck of life, it's easy to forget like the highest version of the people around us. And like, what if we could hold that vision for ourselves and they could hold it for us too? And we could also do the same for the people in our family. I think that like what's possible is that that's how magic happens, I think.
Yeah. I love that. Because I just think imagining a family unit where we, exactly, it's kind of like I just see it as a note on the fridge, like, here's your highest potential. This is what I'm holding for you, you know, like, but it's not like you have to achieve this and, you know, like strive or you're not a good daughter or whatever. Right. But how we as a family unit supporting each other to be that best, you know, like I just love that. And you know, you spoke there to one of your clients having that realization with partnership. And I think that's invaluable in relationship, you know, our one-to-one intimate relationships, because I think we can often take our partners for granted. I think we can often, you know, project our stuff onto them as well. But being able to see through these frameworks, like, what we are bringing to each other, it's such a deeper level of acceptance and love, and a way that, exactly like your client has expressed there, like how this is such a benefit to the relationship, but you work with things differently. Like, it changes the dynamics, it changes the way you show up. So I think that's really powerful. When you did this for yourself and through your kids, and I know you spoke to how it's helped you with your daughter, especially with her emotions, what about with your son? Has there been, you know, what have you done to parent? How did it show you a way to parent differently? And how has that been for him to experience that from you?
That's a good question. Well, something cool that I started doing was asking ChatGPT to write stories specific for him, like how, like the highest version of him and his design. And he really enjoyed those stories. And it's like, that's really fascinating to think that if we could create, like, you know, we have movies and stories and there's common themes and archetypes, but like, what if they spoke directly to the potential of your child? Like, that's been really cool. And he actually has been trying new things and like stepping, like part of his, what he needs is to be pushed into new challenges and new situations. And in literally like the past few weeks, he's been taking on new things where he was more timid to try new experiences. He's venturing out more. And so, and I don't even think that was, I don't know if like consciously did anything different, but just like with a knowing of that's what he needs, it's kind of happened. And so just by knowing like how do I help him grow and evolve? Like, that's our evolution sphere. How do we help them evolve? Like, that's a place in our profiles where we have, like, there's certain ones, places in our profile where by address, like, those are a challenging sphere, but through moving through them and growing there, the potential for transformation is big. And so knowing those areas where they need help, they could use help and guidance, and then helping them there, like the payoff can be very big.
Yeah, amazing. I love that. Something that I was going to mention is, you know, we talked about the trajectory of our lives and, you know, we have these designs and I think about, you know, we've spoken about not everybody's here to awaken, although, you know, many of us here for that. And even I think for people who aren't here for a great awakening, whether they ever tap into their design or not, but for so many of us, this knowing and these experiences help us see where, you know, we are operating in the shadow, in that lower frequency of life, how, you know, and how we can get out a pathway out, a healing out, no matter what it is we maybe at a soul contract level came here to say, I want to experience. In all of those experiences, there's still, no matter how challenging the life may have been that we've had, there is the potential for growth and evolution and to move into the gift expression of even some of the hardest experiences we have in life, you know, and how we can turn that into potential for ourselves. So we all have that capacity no matter what. And I think, you know, as parents, as people in relationship, again, as we said, you know, this tool that you've created and these beautiful reports is really helping us know, you know, our roles that we can play in others' lives as someone that can hold the vision for them. You know, of course, not saying you should be achieving X, Y, and Z, but, you know, in a relationship where we're able to like co-create. And, you know, I think it's just a launch pad for, as you keep saying, potential, our highest potential. Life becomes so different, as we keep saying, when we really do step up and say, okay, I can be this, I can do this, this is who I'm here to be. We align more and more with that authentic expression. We see where our areas for growth are through looking at these types of designs. We know how to support each other. Like, what kind of relationships do we get to have in the future when we are really, really living and embodying those qualities? And we've got someone who feels like they're their support standing next to us. You know, what is that going to mean for your children when they reach early adulthood, you know, and hopefully all going well, like they don't have to do the years of like undoing that we've done, because you're cultivating in them, you know, through the parent, a space for them to blossom, you know, where they were here to shine. Like, what a beautiful gift you're able to offer to them by exploring their design and their chart and your role in their life through your design as well.
Yeah. And I think as you're talking, what came into mind is that their expansion, their growth, their prevention of the living that inauthentic life is actually through the parents doing this inner work. Because I think if we were trying to hold this potential, as you know, as you alluded to, if we're like, yeah, you bet this is your potential, you better live up to it, like that's us in our shadow, right?
Yes.
And so I think it only truly works if we're like, I think the best thing we can do for our kids is do our own personal work. And I think this kind of covers it. It allows us to do our work by going these routes, by looking at our design. And also we can then understand them through that understanding them. We understand ourselves better. And it's, I don't know. It's just this really cool unraveling that it's not linear. It's like, it happens through living. It happens through seeing the patterns arise. It happens through choosing to respond differently than, like, when we recognize the shadow patterning, it's like, okay, how can I respond differently? And really, from my perspective, it's like we act in the shadow because we're unaware for the most part, right? And the first step in transforming that is seeing it. And this helps us see where our shadows are. And it's really empowering that we get to choose differently. And something that Richard Rudd talks about with respect to number 55, like 55 is the gene key that is we are moving into. It's called this great shift of in 2027. It's basically the shadow is of victimization. The gift is of freedom. Also, the city is of freedom. It's the only gene key where the gift and the city are the same. And he talks about that actually underlying every single gene key is the energy of victimization, of being the victim. And really, it's like the whatever the shadow is, it's like the victim of that. And so it's like always asking yourself, like, where am I playing the victim in this? And so really, this is a pathway, whatever our unique profile is a unique way to move out of that energy. And when we move out of that energy, it's like we are responsible. We become responsible for our emotions. We respond, you know, we become responsible for our shadow. We, you know, when we behave in an unconscious way, we own up to it in a way and we recognize it and we acknowledge it. And maybe it helps us do differently the next time. And I think that's how we evolve, is by it's this micro choices that we get to have in our relationships on a day-to-day basis, where we are slowly, sometimes they can be big shifts, but they also can be gradual, and they can be through making a different choice today, which then leads us to a different choice tomorrow. And then over time, those small different choices add up to something much bigger. And so, yeah, I'd say whether you want to do this report, whether you want to dive into the Gene Keys or astrology or human design, like I think wherever we start is a great place to begin. Whoever we feel drawn to, it's like, yes, I said, start with the life's work. You know, it's a common place to start, but they also say it's like, go into the gene key that speaks to you. And what got, Vanessa, introduced me to gene keys, and I got my profile, and I didn't get it. And then I don't know, a year or two later, probably like 2 years later, she took a photo of one of my gene keys, and I read it, and it hit me so profoundly. And I was thinking about it for days. And after that, I'm like, I'm buying this book. Mm-hmm. And I just dove in. And it's like, I don't know, it's just, you kind of start, and it's, don't expect to digest it all in one sitting, but just like little bite chunks, and go back to your life. And so it's, and Richard Rudd talks about it, it's like, you get to do this while you're living your life. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not like you have to go on a retreat. And then I was talking to someone last night, and I was like, it was really cool that I got to do my ayahuasca ceremonies while still at my house with my family. And, cause it can be a challenge to leave, and you're at this like beautiful retreat, and life feels really good. And then you have to go back into your old patterns and your old ways. And it's like, oh, okay, now what do I do? So that was really cool that, like, I think integration is easier when you are able to live your life.
Yeah.
And see shadows as you're living your life, because that's where we get to change them.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll agree with you. And I remember when I first put up my Gene Keys chart, and, it gives you the summary of some of this core spheres. And I was like, okay. And like, okay. I didn't really land, but I knew I wanted to explore it, and I had the book. And I think that was probably when, I started, when I met you and we did the first course, like that's when I was like, okay, let's lean into one. And I think when I started to explore them in more depth and read about them, I could witness and see, okay, I know that shadow expression, been there, felt that, really recognized it, can see that I have grown into some of the gift here, but how I can embrace that more. And then later learn more about the actual pathways and how they come together. And, it's, as you say, it's a committed longer-term journey, something to bring into your life like a contemplation, layer it in. I think that's a really beautiful way to imagine it, like take one sphere, understand what it means, and then see how it plays out in your life. Because again, as you said, it's the awareness piece that we start with. Once we kind of have some new way to look at things, we spot it, then we can understand it. And then again, as you've said before, then when you go back and read it again, say 6 months later, and you've been more aware of that, you pick up completely different things. It's almost like reading the same book. It's a different book every time you read it, because you grow every time you come back to your different gene keys, and there's so much in there. And, Richard Rudd does say that this is something that we're like bringing online. We're bringing these energies into our being by contemplating them, witnessing them in our lives, activating them, really embodying the frequencies of the gifts. Like that's how we're turning our DNA on to be that highest expression of who we are. And I will say too that, once you get into it and you do kind of get a grasp of it, it kind of starts to snowball, and it does make more and more sense, and it's easier to digest once you get in there. It's a little bit of a steeper learning curve to get in, but it's so valuable and so worth it. So Amanda, I just want to thank you for following that impulse that you had to explore this for your own family, through your own desire to be the best mother that you can be, and how you can tap into your children's potential and even your, as a family, and the offerings that you've got here. I think, I have so many people I want to share it with, especially my friends with kids, because I've seen the value that knowing their design can have. Because I also, when I think about a particular friend, she's got three kids, there's no time. It's no time to stop and contemplate what does this one need and what does this one need and how they different, like to go into that. So what you've created is giving them the opportunity to see who they are by design and what their unique characteristics are, what their unique traits are, and then how you as a parent through your design can facilitate that. So you're really cutting out so much of that deep exploration that needs to be done, but giving them kind of a blueprint and a roadmap of like, what if you started to implement this straight away? And, you know, I'd love to see more and more like how this is, you know, affecting people's children as they parent in those new ways with those new understandings. And then again, be that even in relationship with another person, once we've got that higher level overview, you know, how we can begin to act on that and what changes that brings about. So, you know, let's check in.
Yeah. Thanks for that. I just want to, can I add a few more things?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I want to, you know, obviously this is a new thing. And so we'll see, does it allow someone, it's like entering the gene keys from another perspective, right? Like, or if like another, like a backdoor in a way, because it's like seeing like, oh, if I start parenting from this way and seeing if it works, like seeing how, if it's supporting your child in a new way, like, are they flourishing? And then it's like, wow, okay, there's something to this. And then if it creates more time and more space and more, you know, ease in your life, then it's like, oh, mm-hmm. I want to dive into the gene keys now. Mm-hmm. And so mm-hmm. that's what I'm wondering. That would be really cool. And then another thing is that what's so satisfying about this for me is it's actually, I had this realization, like, this is my design. Like, this is what part of what I'm here to do. And number one, it's like bringing things through. It's like my life's work is like having these ideas and insights and like manifesting them, putting them out in the world is one thing. And then it's like recognizing that, well, my purpose is all about children and like nourishing children and giving them like the best possible start. And then also like my journey, which didn't make a lot of sense, you know, like doesn't logically make sense looking back at it. But it was like, I went into psychology to understand family dynamics and relationships. And then I went into naturopathic medicine to like help my mom heal. And like then realizing that, oh, okay, I'm here to like heal my ancestry, like ancestral healing. Like I'm here for that. And then to follow my interests and to find my way here to like creating this thing is, it's like, it wasn't all random. Like it felt like these things didn't feel connected, but they actually all are very connected to like my design, who I am and like what I'm here to do. So for that, it feels really good. So thank you for all those kind words and talking about this with me. And yeah, it's been fun to create and I'm excited to see like how it can help people.
Yeah, amazing. So for everyone listening, again, we'll have the link to these in the YouTube show notes and on the website. And Amanda does have a website, amandarichardson.com.
AmandaRichardsonMeyer.com.
All right. Yes. I wasn't sure if there was the extra on there as well. But we'll have a link to that. So yeah, check it out. And thank you, Amanda, for bringing this forth. And again, for everyone listening, you know, exploring your design is such a powerful way to, you know how you can live your highest timeline, your highest potential. And it's just really touching the surface of what, you know, what we can create here in this life, and it gives us a really unique insight into, you know, our unique paths. So check it out, explore it. Thanks again, Amanda, for this great conversation. And thank you, everyone, for listening. We'll join you in the next episode.
Thank you so much for tuning into today's episode. If you haven't already, please do subscribe to your favorite podcast platform or to our YouTube channel so that you can be notified when new episodes are released. Be sure to head to our website, theawakeningconversations.com, for the resources mentioned in this episode. Here, you can also leave your questions, comments, or feedback so we can create more episodes that you love. And if you'd like to be a guest to share your own awakening journey with our listeners, or you have a business or offering that supports others going through their awakenings, head to our website, theawakeningconversations.com, and click on Be a Guest, and we'll be in touch. Until next time, take care.